Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
So, what are we doing? What are we doing here? I mean, what are we doing? What's our job? You know, I mean, what's our vision? Why do we do what we do as Christians? I mean, most people don't do this. They're home eating toast and, you know, whatever they're doing. There's no football today, I don't think. So whatever's on nowadays or something, out maybe snowmobiling or having a good time, skiing perhaps. You know, what are we doing? And I just wanted to, I love this, it's one of my favorite scriptures from John chapter 7. So they're having the Feast of Tabernacles. Tabernacles is where they make these booths, Sukkoth it's called in the Hebrew. They make these booths and they would spend 7 days a feast and they would stay and have their meals in these booths. And, you know, I always see Jesus as in everything, so I think the booths represent us living in Christ, really. You know, and so Jesus kind of has to sneak into town, into Jerusalem, because there are people who are out to kill him already at this point. He's got a very, very successful ministry. And it says in John 7, it says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, and they always call the last day of Sukkoth, the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the great day of the feast, the great day of the feast. Jesus, he stands up in the crowd. Now, he's been sort of clandestine to this point. He's kind of been in the shadows just a little bit. And he worked his way into Jerusalem without really anybody knowing it. And then he did kind of join the feast days and so on. It says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out. You got to understand, we do church, so we usually do it in a tone that doesn't offend too many people if we can help it. But Jesus stood up in the middle of a feast, in the middle of a religious feast, with no introduction, with no audition. Jesus stands up in the middle of the feast in Jerusalem, in the center of Judaism, in one of the holiest days of their time, and he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart, out of his innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. Now that is an annoying scripture because I don't see too many rivers. But it says, he who believes in me, not he who is a platform minister, not he who has a special gift, he who believes in me, out of his innermost being, his heart, the new, I think the original King James says, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Rivers. Rivers. Think about it. What are we doing here? What are we doing here, those of us who are gathered together because Jesus has prophesied that he who believes in me out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Not flow rivers of living water simply flowing into you, but rivers of living water flowing out from you. I think we got a job to do, and I want to share this a little bit. Let me just do a quick revelation on you. Revelations, not a revelation. From the book of Revelation. John writes here, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. What are we doing here? We are preparing this planet to receive, maybe it's the new heavens and the new earth, where there's some mystery here for sure. But we are here for the purpose of preparing people to prepare a planet for a new heavens and a new earth. The Bible says, speaking of this new Jerusalem, it goes on, because this is not what I'm preaching about, but I want to kind of set up, what are we doing here? But there shall be by no means nothing that defiles it will ever enter it, he's saying here. This shall by no means enter it, this new Jerusalem, anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you know what, human beings, we have that opportunity and the power to share this gospel, because it's our job to populate this new Jerusalem. Jesus did his job. He said, I did my job and I trained you to do my job. Now go and do the job that I trained you to do. Which is what? Share the gospel to the whole world. It said, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, as clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. That'd be Jesus. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, and it bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit in every month. The leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. Folks, don't hate the nations. Don't hate the nations. Nations need to be healed just like our nation needs to be healed. The leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. That means nations are good. Difference, no division. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Oh, you're going to stop serving when you get to heaven? You're going to hang around on a cloud and play your harp? Uh-uh. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. You want a tattoo? Try Jesus on your forehead. I don't see too many of them. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall no longer be night there, because they need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. What are we doing? This. Now I'm going to share something. Short digression. This is from a book called Five Stars by Carmine Gallo. It's a secular book. It's kind of a success or communication book. But what attracted me to this anecdote is the subtitle, which says, I'm not mopping floors, I'm putting a man on the moon. And he says, Charlie Mars couldn't wait to get up and get back to work each morning. He graduated from Vanderbilt University with a bachelor's in electrical engineering. 5 years later, he joined NASA as a project engineer. Though he would never set foot on the moon or travel in a rocket or enjoy a ticker tape parade, years later, Mars spoke about the experience with the awe of someone who had himself done all three. One of the things we had in common was a goal. We were going to the moon. We were putting a man on the moon. It so captured our imagination and our emotions, Mars recalled. So this Wharton School management professor, Andrew Carton, stumbled upon Mars's story as he pored over 18,000 pages of documents, transcripts, and internal NASA memos from the Apollo program. America's ambitious initiative began in 1961 to put a man on the moon. Carton noticed a common thread among the writings of Mars and the other NASA employees across all functions, accountants, administrators, clerks, engineers, janitors, they'd all been profoundly inspired by the words of one man, John F. Kennedy. When Neil Armstrong took one giant leap for mankind on June 20th, 1969, it was the final step in a process that began when one leader with a bold idea lit the collective imagination of the 400,000 people who would turn that goal into a reality. Carton identified the rhetorical formula behind Kennedy's successful communication and explained how his speaking skills triggered this massive action. First, Kennedy reduced the number of NASA's aspirations to one. So the church, what is the church? We've got all of these aspirations. Jake was talking about the packing party over there. And you know what I would say? You're not running a CAP program. You're building the new Jerusalem. You're preparing for Jesus' return. You're not cleaning this chapel. You're not doing all the things that you do, running a home group, having a good time, having a supper. You're not mopping the floor. We're putting a man on the moon. We're bringing down the new Jerusalem from out of heaven. Every person who's sitting here today is called to participate some way, somehow, to bring the new Jerusalem. That's what we're called to do. Jesus said, I'm not leaving you orphans. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit so you don't have to do this alone. I'm going to come to you and I'm going to walk alongside of you because I have shown you the words of inspiration. And then I have proven myself by hanging on a cross for your sins and beating death and rising from the dead to give you a vision of what your future is. I have a dream. I have a dream that Jesus' words come to pass, and Catskill Mountain Christian Center is a part of making that happen. We ain't mopping the floor. We're bringing Jesus Christ to earth. I have a dream. I have a vision. I've been inspired. My emotions have been stirred by this man Jesus. The things he did, the words he spoke, the promises he made. I have a dream. And I want to be a part of something that means something besides what kind of cars I have, what kind of houses I have, what kind of things I have. I have a dream that is going to go beyond me into generations yet to come and has come before me from the very foundations of the earth. I have a dream. And my heart burns with that dream. He said, first, Kennedy reduced the number of NASA's aspiration to one. took the entire NASA organization and said, 1961, by the end of this decade, we're going to set a man on the moon. Listen, 1961, nobody believed him. Very few people believed it was possible. It was like saying Jesus is Lord today. Okay, second, Kennedy shifted the attention from NASA's ultimate aspiration to a concrete objective. Your ultimate aspiration to reach out to new life, a new civilization, to boldly go where no man has gone before. It's very nebulous, right? But he said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to the moon. And we're going to set foot on the moon by the end of the decade. Concrete. We're going to bring Jesus Christ to this community. And they are, some, not going to like it very much. Some are going to be saved. And they're going to be saved to the uttermost. They're going to be driven with this dream. And they're going to be able to say, I have a dream. Concrete objective. We're all working together. We have a goal. We have an objective. 400,000 people, took them 9 years, and they put a man on the moon. A hundred years before that, nobody'd ever flown in an airplane before. In 10 years, we're going to put a man on the moon. 400,000 people were energized by the statement that we can do this. Third, President Kennedy communicated milestones that connected employees' day-to-day work to concrete objectives. You know, okay, what's the next thing we got to do? So they had the Mercury program would send an astronaut into orbit. First of all, the Gemini would teach NASA what it didn't know about spacewalks and connecting spaceships together. Finally, Apollo would ultimately put a man on the moon. Concrete objectives of where we're going. Folks, where are we going? Let's fill this joint. Pass out cards. I got them for you in the back. Invite people to church. Tell people about Jesus. Be his mouthpiece. Be his voice. Pray for your neighbor. Pray for your friend. Pray for your family. The instruction book is pretty easy, actually. A lot of pages, but it's pretty easy. Don't sin no more. No more, no more, no more, no more. What song is that? I hope it's not a bad song. Hit the road, Jack. Yeah, Ray Charles. I saw Ray Charles at Bel Air. Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back. Don't say that to your sin. Say it to your sin things. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more. No. I'm going to have a worship team do that. Amen. Fourth, President Kennedy emphasized impressive scale of the objectives with metaphors, analogies, and unique figures of speech. He relied on a rarely used technique that linguists call embodied concept. It binds a concrete event, landing on the moon, with an abstract aspiration, advancing science. Okay, so our abstract aspiration is advancing righteousness. Our ultimate goal is the New Jerusalem, Jesus' great city that we will have the opportunity to inhabit. Amen. In 1962, in a speech at Rice University, Kennedy said, space is there and we are going to climb it. And the moon and the planets are there. New hopes for knowledge and peace are there. Kennedy gave abstract ideas like knowledge, peace, and exploration a location, an actual work to do. Yeah? I'm not mopping the floor. I'm building the New Jerusalem. In the early 60s, skeptics outnumbered those who believed a person could set foot on the moon by the end of the decade. Kennedy didn't persuade people with facts alone. He made them feel. He combined what Aristotle called pathos and logos, emotion and logic, and we need that in the church. Don't get mad at an emotional church. We need our emotions connected with our faith. Their logic is one thing. I don't want to go to hell. I do want to go to heaven. We call that logic, right? At least I do call it logic. I do want to go to heaven. And I don't care if I can understand what heaven is like, harps, no harps. I don't really care. I don't want to go to any Bernie place like Jesus talked about. Jesus was the one who introduced the concept of weeping and gnashing of teeth, a fire that is never quenched, you know, where the worm dieth not. I don't know. You know, I don't care. I don't mind worms all that much. But they kind of remind me of snakes, and those dudes I don't like at all. So I don't, you know, just, I pass on that place. Bill Gates says a moonshot challenge requires a clear, measurable objective that captures our imagination and fundamentally changes how we view what is possible. How do we view what is possible? Too many people I really like who are my friends and my neighbors, who are people in this community. Some are miserable and wretched, and some are proud and rich and all. I want them saved. I want them to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I don't want them to go to hell. Not on my watch. Not on my watch. Not while I have a voice. We finally got on YouTube. We've been on radio for over 25 years. Why? Because I'm the best preacher around? No, but I got a voice like you have a voice. I'm a printer with a voice. I'm a country boy with a voice. I'm an average student with a voice. And I have a dream. Because I knelt down on a pallet one day, and I was so unsaved. I had church, folks. I had religion, but I was so unsaved. And my wife, because she's so demure and timid and shy, rode me to my knees. So I said, God, if this baptism in the Holy Spirit and this tongue stuff and all this stuff is real, can I have it? Bada boom! He came, and he filled me with this thing that won't go away. That was 1982. That's a long time ago for some of you. Yesterday for me, everything changed. We have to dream a dream. We have to read our book. We have to drink it deep. We have to live this life. We have to not let the fire go out. Please, please don't let the fire go out. We got this fancy church on Main Street now. We're all that and more. And we're no different than the few ragtags that met in Dunraven 25 years ago. 28 years. We're here 28 years ago. 25 is just easier to say. I'm going to start stretching it out to 30 here soon. I'll say 30 years! They call that being evangelistic. It's kind of like exaggerating, only in a holy way. Oh, we had 1,400 people in church today. So good. Amen. Let's stand up. Ain't nobody here mopping a floor. You get it? Ain't nobody here as a doorkeeper. Everybody's here because we have one compelling vision, and that is to see Jesus Christ made to be Lord in our generation and to carry the ball from this generation to the next generation. Stronger, with stories to tell, with stories to write down, to pass on to those who come after. I want Jesus to come tomorrow. But I'm a little bit afraid that if he does, people I love will go to hell. So, you know, I'm okay with Jesus coming. I'm like, sorry. Stinks to be you, I guess. You know, but I got to go. Because Jesus said on that day, don't look back. Don't look back. Don't be like Lot's wife and look back. On that day, you hear that trumpet. You follow that sound, right? Follow that sound. Go there. Amen? Father, in Jesus' name, bless our church. Lord, let the word of God explode in our generation. And even what the world would consider to be small, you and 12 guys, 2,000 years later, we're still doing the thing. Loving Jesus, caring for the things that are important in life. And we pray that you would multiply this group over and over and over. Everyone here is here because your destiny was to be here this day. Hear these words and act on them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Hey guys, this is Jake Johnson coming to you from our On Fire radio studio. We pray this message has encouraged you. The title of this message is, We're Putting a Man on the Moon. Pastor Bob reminded us that no matter what we are doing for God, we must remember that we are part of something bigger, the work of building a new Jerusalem. We must bring heaven to earth. Think of all the people you come in contact with during a week. Who needs to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Maybe it's a coworker, a family member. Maybe it's the guy behind the deli counter. I don't know. I don't know who they are, but I believe that God will show them to you and give you an opportunity to share the love of Christ with them. And maybe you're listening today and would say, Jake, I want to join this cause. How do I start? Well, I'll tell you, because of our sins, there's no way that we can make it to heaven on our own. But God did send Jesus, his son, to die for our sins. And Jesus said that if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. So pray with me today and begin a new life with God. Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I believe you lived a perfect life and died on a cross as a sacrifice for my sins. I repent for my sins today and I place my life in your hands. I give you all that I have and I ask that you would cleanse me with your blood and fill me now with the power of the Holy Spirit. I walk forward today into a new life with you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Hey, listen, if you prayed that prayer with me, I'd encourage you to get a Bible. Download a free app on your phone. It's called YouVersion, the Bible app. You can start a Bible plan and start reading the Word of God. Start a prayer life and start spending time with God. And find a Bible-believing church. I want to take this time to personally invite you to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We're at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. We have church every Sunday at 10 a.m. and we would love for you to join us. Come find us and let us know that you've been listening to On Fire Radio. We would love to meet you. And maybe you can't make it in person, but I can tell you this, we have a YouTube channel and we have a Facebook. You can find us on both those platforms, listen back to our live sermons, watch our YouTube videos, stay connected with what God is doing in the Catskill Mountains. I'd also like to give you an opportunity in partnering with us. And if this word has ministered to you today, would you consider giving to the work of On Fire Radio? On Fire Radio is brought to you free, online, and on the radio each week because of generous donations from listeners like you. You can give online, and you can also find out more about CMCC and our other ministries by going to www.cmcconline.org. Again, that's www.cmcconline.org. And we'd love to hear from you. You can send us a message from our website, you can send us a message from our Facebook, or you can post a comment from whatever platform you're listening to this radio show or on our YouTube channel and let us know how God is using this ministry to work in your life. And if you have a prayer request, we want to hear about that too. How can we pray with you? Please let us know. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson signing off. God bless and we'll see you in church.